Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Take Cast. My name is Davis Matic. You can find me on Twitter at Davis Matic. In this episode of the show, I brought in Sports Grid and Daily Roto's statistician and developer Arturo Galletti on to talk about the 2019 NBA Finals from a sports betting perspective. We got into the weeds a little bit in terms of the series price, kind of projecting out how things might go over 5, 6, 7 games between the Golden State Warriors and the Toronto Raptors. If you are interested in betting the 2019 NBA Finals, this is definitely the podcast for you. We are, of course, presented by DailyRoto.com, the best projections and tools in the industry. You can get 10% off of the Daily Roto Elite Package using the promo code Rory. We are also presented by RotoExperts.com. You can get the NFL 365 package and our ultimate guide to winning draft best ball leagues for 10% off using the promo code MATIC. That's a $39.99 package. Of course, if you want to support the show, you can always leave a rating and review on iTunes or subscribe to the show at patreon.com/takecast. Now let's get into the show. All right, everyone, bringing in Arturo Galletti from Sports Grid. You've definitely used his work on Daily Roto, Roto Experts, and the other Sports Grid associated sites. But Arturo does a lot of modeling for NBA, and we thought that it would be appropriate to talk about the NBA Finals, do a little NBA Finals preview, get some bets out. And I think Arturo and I are on opposite ends of this, so it should be good discussion. Arturo, how you doing, buddy?
Pretty good. Hey, and as I said, I just do what the math tells me,
right? Which that is over the long run, that is how you turn a profit sports betting. So coming at this from my perspective, I don't bet a ton of basketball. I do bet series, but generally it would be a series where I'm looking at it and I'm thinking in my head, I think that number's wrong. I'm not back testing it. I'm not running it through models. Some of the biggest bets I've ever made have been basketball bets, and they've been on the Warriors. But I'll tell you this. I don't think that you're getting a good price on the Warriors at all. I think that they are pretty significantly worse to win in actuality than -280.
Yeah, I think everything about this series and the pattern has been that, like, they're getting too many points. Right. And the opposite pattern is held for the Raptors, where, like, the Raptors aren't getting enough points or respect. And I think that's kind of the key for looking at the series is, like, and I was telling this to someone, I'm like, look, if you were getting in season, it's the Warriors are playing at Toronto and KD is out and Boogie can't walk or Boogie's, like, limited. You'd get like 6 or 7 points on the Raptors. Right. Particularly like they're playing right now. And I get this is the Warriors, but I mean, really, you're kind of taking a position against the public if you're taking the Raptors. And generally, when you're taking a position against, like, somebody who's getting money coming in from the public, well, that's the right position to take. I always joke that, like, I think 5 years in a row, the under on LeBron, the under on Melo, and the under on the Warriors, right? And the under on the Knicks, right? You always take those because those are public positions, right? And this is like, you go, okay, because even though, hey, I mean, these guys are good, but generally, like, their number is bet up. And I think it's the same thing going on here for the Warriors. I mean, they've been playing kind of lesser competition. They're facing a team that's really, really good and really, really well suited to kind of go at them. And they don't have home court, right? And if you add all those things up, it's like, why am I getting 2-1 on, I think it's +225 right now on the Raptors, right? So, I mean, like, yeah, the action's just, and then why am I getting Raptors -1? And I think you were getting still +1 in some books. It's kind of insane. I mean, I think there's a 2-point difference between Pinnacle and some other books. So that kind of tells you that, like, there's some edge to be had in the series. And I think the edge to be had is in the, in the Raptors side. And it's obviously been on the Raptors side for a while, right? Again, I think it's important to note that, like, if I'm setting the line for this series, I personally would probably be setting it somewhere close to pick 'em. And that's actually a lot of respect for the Warriors because they don't have KD and they don't have home court advantage, right? But given that you're getting Raptors at 2-1, and given that the mathematical models are going like, well, why aren't you taking the Raptors? Well, you kind of have to go, well, that's where the edge is in this series, right? And I think I was talking to someone, I was like, a lot of people have, like, like early Raptors action from like, you know, early in the season, or like when they were 4-1 like a week ago. And I think almost like you want to kind of hold that and maybe like think of like maybe Warriors and six if you want to hedge, and then maybe like bet the points on each game, because that's where the edges are, like the points on the Raptors, because that's where the edges are going to be every game in the series, right? There's a lot of like interesting little bets you can actually make in this series.
So let's say the Raptors win game one pretty convincingly. Like let's say they win game one and the outcome's never really in doubt. You know, maybe the Warriors make a run in the third quarter, like we've sort of come to expect them to do in a lot of these games, but the Raptors are pretty convincing. You know, not only do they cover the spread, but they win outright game one. What do you think the series price would shift to? Do you think that there would be a dramatic readjustment by the market? Do you think the Raptors would get a bunch of money coming in on them after game one that would maybe lean it in Golden State's favorite? Or is Golden State just such a public team that they're really not going to get worse than, you know, minus, like, I think maybe the worst the Warriors would get in the series would be minus 200, but maybe I'm wrong.
I think what happens is, so, you know, nobody's seen these Raptor games. Like, the ratings, they've been watching in Canada, but, like, the ratings in the U.S. haven't been that great. And I think people haven't seen Kawhi be, like, Kawhi is basically doing a Jordan impression. That's been crazy. So I do think if people remember back, the last time Kawhi was in the playoffs against the Warriors was game one at the Spurs when Zaza took out his knee. They were up 30. They went into Oracle and were just, like, Kawhi was literally just salting the earth. Like, he was, like, just destroying everything that was in front of him. And if that happens in game one, and if you have KD who didn't travel, and I really strongly feel that KD's not playing in a Warriors uniform ever again. So if those two things are in play, then, yeah, I think you can probably get you'll probably get even money on the Warriors after that game. I think that's your best – if you're looking for getting on the Warriors, that is your best-case scenario. And I think the problem with that is, like, I was telling someone, well, I mean, like, and you want to get there because, I mean, what could happen is, what if they're, like, not into it and it's not effective and they're down two, and then, you know, then you really don't want the Warriors actually if they're down two and KD's not playing. But I think if they get the split, then you're kind of looking at, what, 5-6 games, maybe, like, 6-7 games, and then it becomes more interesting, right? So then you're looking at, like, I was telling someone, like, who was, like, thinking of getting in a position where he was getting on Warriors in six and then taking the points in game six. Right, taking the points on the, because, like, he's like thinking, well, if I get the Warriors in six, then there's a good chance I'm getting 7 or 8 points on the Raptors in that game, right? So you can, there's a lot of little things you can do. I think the best you're going to get probably is going to be even money, because what will happen is anytime it gets close, the public's going to bet it the other way, right? I think what's actually happening right now is the sharps are jumping every time the line gets to a certain point, and the public, like, when the sharps move it, then the public moves it back in the other direction. I think that's exactly what's happening on this right now.
So let's talk about some more micro things that have the ability to impact the series. The first thing that is, you know, I guess I am a member of the public, because my first perception to this is it's pretty uncommon for the younger team, the less experienced team, to come in and win their first finals. But you can beat back on that a little bit. You can say Serge has played in the finals. Kawhi has won a finals. Marc Gasol and Kyle Lowry have both played in conference finals, you know, plenty of times. So I would say this is different.
And Danny Green is the best three-point shooter in finals history.
Danny Green does not look like that player, but that is true. He has had great success shooting three-pointers in the NBA Finals. So right away, sort of that first public argument goes against it. And the other thing that you will hear from a historical perspective is that a lot of the times, these old teams, the last time they make it to the finals is a win, and then they just don't end up coming back. But there are, of course, things that make this different. The first is that, you know, Durant not playing, I think, is sort of, it's somehow become underblown how important Durant is to this team.
I'm going to push back on that, because if you think back, the last time they make the finals, they lose. The Heat lost the last time, and it was similar to this. The Celtics lost the last time, it was similar to this. The Lakers lost the last time, and it was similar to this. Like, the season more.
The Spurs won the last time, though, right?
I mean, yeah, the Spurs won the last time, but that really was a Kawhi team, and really the Spurs' last run was the next year when they got bounced. Like, that was, so I mean, like, generally that last run, like, that fourth, that fifth final straight, like fourth or fifth finals run, when the team is banged up, I'm thinking this team is similar to like the 87 Celtics, where like the 87 Celtics, you know, they obviously had the bias thing, and Bird was hurt, and like McHale couldn't walk because he screwed up his foot. So like it was like there's a lot of similarities. I mean, like if you look at this Warriors team, you know, no KD, Boogie's had two leg injuries. Everybody, like if you
well,
look
I actually think if Cousins was healthy, that would be a bad thing for the Warriors. I actually think they're sort of being saved right now from having to play, because without KD, Cousins and Looney would be playing as the front court Cousins might get to 30 minutes a game if he was healthy.
Yeah, if Cousins is playing, like Toronto's counting its lucky stars and going big and rebounding rebounding off the floor. I agree with that. But the point being that, like, when you look at the data for this team, if you look at any time, like, if you look at the data when KD and Curry are not on the floor, it's a literal garbage fire. Like, which means, like, the ancillary players on this team, like, I made the argument, this is like the 2015 Warriors team, but if you think about it, it's 2015 Warriors team. Where like Draymond and so Draymond and Steph are about the same. Clay and Iggy are slightly worse.
You're a big anti Clay truther. You do not like Clay Thompson right now.
Well, it's not that I don't like him. It's that like his play. If you look at his numbers, his play matches the kind of decline you would see for a player of his age. His numbers have actually gone down season to season, and he's like the point I'm making is he's getting close to a next big contract, and I wouldn't pay him. If I'm building a team around Steph, that's not where I want to put my action, because if you look at it, if you look at all the lineup data, what really matters is Steph is on the court, right? And what you kind of want is you want pieces around him that can defend and can, like, hit open shots. And, yeah, Clay can do that, but I'm not going to pay him like he's a superstar or a star. I'd rather spend the money on maybe somebody like Jalen, who can do similar things at, like, maybe, like, a third of the money, right? And then I can use the rest of the money to get, like, additional younger pieces to put around them. But that's kind of a separate point. I mean, I think the point for this one is that kind of, and this gets us in some of the prop bets, I think the path for the Warriors to win the series is Clay going off, right? And I don't believe he's going to happen, but I mean, like, if the Warriors are winning, then Clay has to hit a bunch of threes, right?
Clay has to hit a bunch of threes. Draymond has to do, you know, 2015 defense on LeBron level defense on Kawhi. And McKinney and Looney have to play B-plus basketball. If McKinney and Looney are bad in this series, they could lose in, like, five games. Like, a lot is going to come down on those guys being good.
The big problem is, like, so Toronto is really, really good at knowing when to bring out the bats and beat the crap out of the other team, right? So when, like, the refs are not calling anything, Toronto's going to come out, like, just rough you up. Because if you really think about it, they're rolling seven deep in defenders, right? Lowry's a decent defender. FBV is a decent defender. Danny Green's an elite defender. Kawhi is otherworldly. Serge is a good defender. Gasol is a good defender, right? So if there's an edge to be had, they're going to beat the crap out of you. So I don't believe that the ancillary pieces are going to be able to get off. Like the Raptors will bounce Curry around like a pinball ball. And they'll basically, like, crash, like, Siakam. They use Siakam and Gasol and Ibaka on Green. Kawhi will help on Curry. And so really the path for, and this is, again, 2015 Cavs series, the path for the Warriors, right, it's the same as that series. It's like, well, they're going to need Clay to actually hit it big. And I don't know that he can necessarily do that anymore. And even so, like, Clay's not going to have a good defender on him, because Danny Green will wind up on him. And Danny Green's, like, a really good defender, right? So it's a really interesting mismatch. And the ancillary pieces for, like, the Warriors, like, Bogut in 2019 is not Bogut from 2015. Right?
Yeah, Bogut should play 8 minutes a game, maybe.
And I don't know how he should play in the series, because, like, you know, in this series, like, Siakam and Gasol will abuse him. Right, so it's or Ibaka too. So I mean, it's a really interesting play, and I think the key for the public is, I don't know that all of them saw that Philadelphia series and they saw that Bucks series and they saw Kawhi literally just, like, tear the heart out of people. I mean, I don't know if you watched it, but, like, Kawhi getting those three, like, getting the rebound on his own three in traffic against the Bucks, and getting his own rebound on the free throw against the Bucks, like, in crunch time, is insane. The Bucks were the longest team, and he was just literally just wheeling the team to victory. And I feel like, as I said at the summer, it's like Kawhi will steal a game, right? Like, Kawhi's going to steal a game this series.
Yeah, Kawhi will have a game where he goes, you know, 45, 11, and 7, and, you know, he does it on 32 shooting possessions. I think that there are some weaknesses with Toronto, though. The first is that their bench is, like, a very high variance bench. Like, if you're going to tell me that Norman Powell and Fred VanVleet play as well in this series as they did in the last series, I would say probably I would take the under on, like, their averages and on their true shooting. And that was one of the big things. I believe it was game 5 where Toronto basically blew out the Bucks because Norm Powell and Fred VanVleet were so good. And I don't know if they have that game in them this series. The other thing is, you know, the continued offensive demise of Kyle Lowry. You know, he is still really a good defensive point guard. But
it's a really interesting spot because Lowry's been really, really good against Curry, actually.
And he has been, yeah.
That was going to get to my other props. So, like, the interesting prop bets for me for MVP are I think Lowry's 50-1, and I think Klay Thompson's, like, I think 30-1, depending on the book, right? Or, like, both of those, which are longer odds, I think actually play up with the shorter series, right? Like, if Lowry goes out and he basically exploits Curry, who's getting it bounced around like a ping pong ball, then the series goes short and Lowry wins the MVP. Although I think right now the odds on Kawhi winning the MVP are better than the odds on Toronto winning the series, right? So you're actually getting less money if Kawhi wins the MVP than if Toronto wins the series. So it's a really interesting kind of matchup because I do think the way the matchups play out, like, Lowry is going to see Curry a lot, right? On the series. And I think, like, I think what will happen is I think Toronto will exploit the Curry matchup and they'll have to switch Klay. The problem is, like, okay, so if you switch Klay to Lowry, well, then that means Draymond has to help on Kawhi because I don't think that you can actually guard Kawhi one-on-one, and then Siakam and Gasol are going to basically go at Looney in the post, right? And then if you switch back the other way and you move Klay, you know, if you move Klay and Iggy on LeBron, well, sorry, on Kawhi, I'm confusing myself. On Kawhi, then Lowry is the one who's going to, like, end up on Curry, right? And again, it's kind of how the matchup moves around. And I kept telling someone, like, there's two reasons. You're going to miss Durant in this series because not having Durant means that, like Toronto can just beat the crap out of Golden State with impunity on defense. And on offense, it means, like, that, like, Toronto can attack mismatches because you don't have KD to take the other big, right? So it means, like, whoever, like, Dre is not guarding, then if you have Dre, Iggy, KD, and Klay out there, you only have to hide Steph on defense. Whereas if you don't have KD, you have to have, like, Looney or Jarepko on defense, right? And it puts some pressure because you have to double Kawhi, right? So, again, this is a really interesting – like, there's a lot of interesting matchups. And everything that you look at, it really kind of favors Toronto, who also have home court, which is, like you saying, the points on Toronto and the series price on Toronto is where your edge is, right?
Well, again, the reason they're going to miss having Kevin Durant is because they're going to miss having Kevin Durant. Durant is, you know, maybe the second or third best offensive player in terms of points per possession in basketball right now, and giving those possessions to, you know, Kevon Looney, to Alphonso McKinney, to Andre Iguodala, it just makes them a worse team. There's just no way around it. They are worse. And there was, you know, there's just been a lot of talk about, oh, you know, the Warriors, they're playing so free. Look at how much more space there is on offense. Look how more engaged Curry is. And so I think the thing that we forget about the Warriors' playoff runs over the last several years is that Curry has sort of needed Durant there because he's a little guy. You know, he's a little guy who is getting older. This is going to be what, you know, their 88th game, or no, even more than that. They're going to be heading into their, like, 95th playoff game or 95th game. And, you know, they've been playing these deep runs. I worry about Curry against Kyle Lowry and a pretty physical Raptors team over, you know, a 6 or 7 game series. That is a concern for me.
Well, it's an interesting kind of thing of how personnel and kind of how defenses are set up. So the Warriors play 2 styles. They play like the old Spurs style. Like when it's a Curry led offense, they're playing that, like, a lot of passing, a lot of motion, a lot of, like, looking, basically move, move, move until you get an open shot. When they're playing with KD, right, they're playing ISO style with KD, and KD is basically facing, like, front facing, like, whoever's in front of him and trying to get a shot open to get to the post. or like get to the like an open jump shot. And it's interesting that like the teams that were facing them in the West really did a really good job at stopping KD, or like kind of like putting, like what they did was they got a lot of like flexible smaller defenders that could stay in front of them. That's what they did for KD, and that was actually kind of working. And it was a double-edged sword, because once like you took KD out of the equation, then Houston's like really small and not physical, and like so Houston really didn't have the personnel to cover the other style with Curry. Same thing with like and kind of, you look at Portland was so banged up that they also didn't have the personnel. And you get into this final series and it's the exact opposite thing, because like the Raptors are specifically built to beat the crap out of teams, right? This is what they do. This is what they always do. Like the Bucks would have been the same way, and the Sixers would have been the same way. So this is actually like for like, this is a series where like they absolutely need KD, right? And I mean, I still think even if they had KD, particularly if it's a limited KD with an Achilles injury, the Raptors could do the job defensively. But like not having KD means that like the Raptors can do like a lot of things on defense to put a lot of pressure on that scheme that like the Warriors are going to run. And I think like a free tip for like people is that basically what they should be looking for is they should be looking for that like the game where like you're going to get like the nice ref matchup for the Raptors. And again, this is not me. This is not conspiracy theory me. This is just me saying, if Tony Brothers and Mark Davis are out there, the Raptors know they will get away with basically playing as physical as possible. And the history has been like, if it's Brothers and Davis that are being assigned, then the Raptors will go out and like they'll roll people, because they'll be able to just bump the hell out of the other team's guards, right? And they know this, and they and like it's not a bias. It's the Raptors. Their analytics identifies when they get that matchup, and they get more aggressive defensively, right? And it's, and again, this is not me saying like it goes both ways, but like again, the personnel that the Raptors have means that they can go out and do this, right? They've got a guys who they are the equivalent of hockey goons, and this isn't a bad thing. I'm an old Philadelphia Flyers fan. I like teams that like rough it up. Like it's like, you know, if it's there, you take advantage of that. And like the Warriors are kind of like susceptible to this, and they've been susceptible to this in the finals, like, and I think that's the concern. This is why you need KD, and this is why the series is problematic, where I don't think KD plays in a Warriors uniform again. I think he's done. I think there's no value to KD playing for the Warriors for him, either historically or from a contract point of view, right? And all the news kind of seems to suggest that it's very unlikely that he'll be back in the series.
Yeah, I mean, I think that seems like it's almost done. Like, I think not only does it seem like there's no benefit to him stretching it, but it doesn't seem like I think this injury is probably worse than they're letting on. Like, yeah. Doesn't it seem like there's just clearly something wrong with his Achilles? Because I think we would have heard some news about him getting jumpers up or something, but we've got nothing. We've got no news at all.
Right now, the last update, it's a 4 to 6 week time frame injury that they're reporting, and I think they're underreporting the severity. And they said the injury from the Warriors PR was he is behind schedule on recovery. He's done no on-court work. And, like, everything kind of, like, I don't think he's traveling to Toronto in game one and two. And I think that he's done. I mean, I think basically everything that I heard means that it's done. And also, and I put this point up, it's like, is there anything better for KD's brand than, say, the Warriors losing five games without him?
No, I mean, he, I don't know, he probably kind of wants them to lose without him, you know, just because he's probably sick of these guys. He's definitely sick of it always being Curry's team. I think that's a pretty fair assessment.
Yeah, and again, he also, he wants to get paid. I don't think that there's no value in him going out there and re-injuring himself before his payday, right? I think that, again, So I said this very simply to someone. It's like, look, these two teams have even records, right? They both play similar rotations in the regular season and the playoffs. So there's a similar markup with how they do that. They have both have superstars playing at a career level, right? There's Curry and there's Kawhi. They're both playing at like an insane level. Kawhi is playing in that MJ LeBron kind of playoff like stratosphere, which is kind of crazy, but that's what he's doing. And one of them is missing their like a two-time Finals MVP and an MVP and an all-time player in KD, and they're also missing their starting center. And the other team, which is Toronto, is basically has home court. So, you know, if this was just a random game that was happening in the middle of the season, and I said this before, you'd be getting like 6 points on Toronto. Like Toronto would be like -6 or something. So you're getting like 3 points in Toronto everywhere, right? Again, and again, this is, you know, I think that this probably goes 6 and 7 because I think that the Warriors will fight in this series and they'll get close. And the longer the series go, the more likely I think the Warriors are going to win, right? I think that's kind of the play. I think if the Warriors just don't have the personnel to match up, which we'll find out in game 1 and 2, because it's possible because of that, or if somebody like tweaks an ankle, then this is a short series and the Raptors win. If it's a longer series, then it becomes more interesting. And I do think then you're looking at like the Warriors winning the series, right? I think this is it's weird. I think short series Raptors win, long series Warriors win. This is kind of like my take on this. And even then, it's kind of like, you know, the problem with this is like, from what I like, would you bet against Kawhi in a game 7?
It depends. It really depends on what's happened in the other games, and it depends on sort of what happens with Draymond's defense on him. You know, Draymond is one of the most intelligent and talented defenders that the NBA has seen in the last 20 years, and I think that it is possible that he does have the ability to make Kawhi uncomfortable.
Yeah, I mean, I keep flashing back to like Kawhi just utterly like just destroying him in like 2 years ago, like just going out there and just like no, and then like that's it. Like in the Sixers series, he had Embiid and Butler and Simmons, who are like really all really good defenders, and they just couldn't do anything with him, right? And it's the same thing as like Giannis went on him. And, like I think, yeah, I mean, this is a real challenge, and this is like, you know, the ideal situation. That I think the key to me is like, Iguodala is a good defender, but he's not the guy he was in 2015. Klay's a good defender, but he's not the guy he was 2 years ago, right? So, and it's great that Dre's had this like resurgence, but I don't know that it's going to be enough, and I don't think he can do it by himself, right? So, again, I'm really curious to see it. I wouldn't feel comfortable having money against Kawhi in a game 7, right? I'd be like, okay, unless you're giving points, like I would not feel comfortable with it, because I just, again, from what I've seen, I kind of feel like, you know, it's the thing that happened where they were down 15 against the Bucks, and he was like, no, I'm winning this game, right? And he started stealing passes and like just making every single ridiculous play and just getting them over the hump. And again, I think that's the kind of thing when you have a guy like that on the other side that makes it, oh, I don't know that I want to be in this spot. Again, I think these are like, I'm very happy that we're getting the series, because one of my biggest regrets as a fan was that like stupid Zaza taking out Kawhi.
Right.
Like, because that series was like gearing up to be like an all-time fight for the title. And I'm glad that we're getting kind of a do-over. Like, I'm sorry for Spurs fans, it didn't happen for their team, but I'm glad we're getting a do-over here. And again, I think this is a much more interesting series than the public has it at. Because I think the public has it, like, the public's like setting it up for like, I think that they think the series, I think 73% for the Warriors to win, and like Warriors in 6. And I think this is a lot more interesting than they're giving it credit for, right?
Yeah. No, it's an interesting series. This will be the first time in this Warriors run that I've not had money on them to start. I've decided, as over the course of us talking, I'm not going to lay the -280 on the Warriors, but I'm also not comfortable betting against them. So I'm going to wait to see what happens to the series price after game 1, because I do think the Raptors should probably win that first game. And I would like to see what would happen to the price after that. And if it gets to, you know, if the Warriors are down one without home court, you know, having to win 4 of the next 6 games, I would think they'd get to like -180, and I would be more interested in that price. But I think we should go ahead now and talk about some of these player props, because I think player props are, you know, more bettable and more beatable than you know, the series price. The first one that leapt out to me is Draymond Green over 13.5 points over the course of the finals. That one at -110 feels pretty good to me.
Yeah, I like that, because I think what's going to happen is that they're going to, like, Toronto's going to deploy the Giannis defense on Curry. I think that's what's going to happen. So I think Clay and Dre will get a lot of usage in this series, right? I think that like the ball is going to wind up in his hands, and I think he can actually like score on so he'll get like enough 3 opportunities to make that kind of, I think that's a low number. I think that's actually a good number for him. 13.5. I think that's really good. I agree with you.
Yeah. So I actually think I would maybe be tempted if you were someone who was interested in fading the Warriors, if you wanted to be really in on the Raptors. I think Curry under 30.5 points per game at plus 115 seems pretty good as well.
I like that. I really like that because I think, again, I think they're going to – so, I mean, it's going to depend on how the ref assignments line up. And somebody was telling me, like, what happens if, like, they get a lot of obvious no calls in game, like, in game one and Kirk comes out and, like, protests. I'm like, yeah, the way the league's been doing it, like, these playoffs, you're going to get game two, you're going to get Mark Davis and Tony Brothers, which are, like, the most favorable possible referee matchup you get for Toronto. So I think that, like, there's a – I think that, like, that 30-plus, like, 30.5 number for Curry is really interesting as an under, right? I think that, like, they're going – like, I think, again, if you – like, the overs on Clay and Draymond and the under on Steph seems like a logical place to go, right? And I think the over on Lowry is really interesting too.
You think the over on 15 for Lowry? I mean, I guess the reason why you'd be interested in these overs is that, you know, if this is a super competitive series, we're going to see some of these guys playing 45 minutes a night. Like, I think Draymond, if this series is tied 2-2, I think that these guys, I think Draymond, I think Clay, I think Kawhi, I think Lowry, some of these guys could be getting one rest, you know, kind of at the end of the first quarter.
Toronto's been playing crazy minutes since game two of the Orlando series. Like, they came out game one of the Orlando series and lost because they ran a regular season rotation. And Nurse has gone to, like, the crazy long road. Like, he's gone to playoff rotation since then, and he hasn't stopped. Like you know, basically they're playing – like, Kawhi is playing every single possible minute. Like, Siakam's playing every single possible minute. So, yeah, that's out there. I mean, I think Lowry's going to play 40-plus minutes in every single – like, the only way he doesn't play 40 minutes in a game is if they – like, in a blowout. That's the only situation where they're not going to play 40-plus minutes. I think that's kind of a given for both these teams.
I would be interested in betting some of these Gasol unders, both for points and for rebounds, because I do think that the lineup that makes the most sense for the Raptors to close with and to play meaningful minutes is the Lowry, Danny Green, Kawhi, Siakam, Ibaka lineup. So I think that Gasol could see his minutes come down in this series versus the Bucks series.
I would stay away from that because I do think there's some value there. And as I said, somebody, like, keep in mind that, like, when we're getting to the point where, like, there's no drug testing. So a lot of these older players, particularly the older bigs, are going to be a lot more mobile in the typical era. Like, guys like Serge, guys like Iggy, guys like Gasol will benefit from the fact that really we're at the point where, like, you know, they're getting the best possible medical treatment they can. So I think he's going to be a little more surprised. So I think, like, they've been using a little more Gasol than Ibaka is what they've been going on. And I don't think that – so they were doing that against the Bucks, and the Bucks are a comparable situation because the Bucks, like, were using – you know, they're going Lopez and Middleton and Giannis. So you kind of – it's a similar kind of take. I would hesitate on the Gasol over. I think under. I think that there's a good chance that he gets more touches than he should.
So then, right? do you like the Ibaka unders then? Or do you think that those are fairly priced?
I think those are fairly priced, and I wouldn't, like, I don't know exact, like, so I'm not exactly sure what the, like, the Warriors have to choose one of the, they have to basically let one of the Toronto bigs beat them, right? And I don't know which one's going to be, so I would kind of stay away from that. I'm a little more like, well, I like the secondary players. Like, I mentioned Clay, I mentioned Lowry's for over and Dre, but I don't, like, for the bigs, I think they're close to being fairly priced. I don't know exactly how it's going to play out. My gut tells me that Gasol is going to be the guy they go with, right? And here's the other thing is, like, if Boogie actually plays, like, so during the season,
If Boogie plays, I like the Gasol overs because they will go with a lot of Gasol when Boogie's on the floor.
But here's the thing: they were never playing. They played, I think, during the regular season, they played Gasol and Ibaka 5 minutes together, and in the playoffs, they've actually gone to Gasol Ibaka. They've used a significant amount, particularly when they want to out rebound the team, and particularly when a team goes big. So if Boogie plays, I think there's a good chance you're going to see Ibaka Gasol if Boogie plays, when they're giving Siakam a breather. Or they might even go Siakam, Gasol, and Ibaka if the Warriors go big. Like, this is, like, any situation where Boogie's playing is good for Toronto because Toronto can just go, like, they can roll out, like, the tall dudes lineup.
Right? Yeah.
Go, like, we're going to rebound everything because Siakam's actually flexible enough that he could defend the three, right? So it's interesting, and I would kind of stay away from that because I know Teron, like, whereas, like, their old coach didn't like doing this, Nurse is fine with rolling these huge lineups out there, and he's actually done it in the playoffs.
Another interesting one, I think, is Curry over 6.5 assists. You know, if we're thinking he's going to just have to kind of do everything, you know, 44 minutes a night, I think that, you know, he'll have one of those crazy 13 assist games, probably in one of the home games. 6.5 felt really low, and you're actually getting plus money on the over 6.5.
I like that. I like the 6.5 assists because I do think that that's kind of what Curry is going to have to do in the series. Right. So I think that, like, every game he's going to have to, like, move the ball and pass the ball. And that's what, like, Toronto is going to try to force the ball out of his hands. Right. And so, yeah, that makes a ton of sense.
Some of these Danny Green overs seem very low. Danny Green total 3-pointers made 9.5. The over is -110. That one, I'm here on the sportsbook, right? I'm actually just going to bet this one right now because that's too low.
Is that for the series?
Yeah, that it has to be.
9.5 main threes for Danny Green for the series? Are they serious with that number?
They must. They're projecting the sports books are projecting more playing time for Van Vliet
That means they're projecting a short series because there's, like, if you think he's going 6 or 7, then Danny Green 9.5 threes is a ridiculous line, right? So if you think that is a very good, like, if you think the series is going long, and you don't want to take a position on either side, taking Danny Green to, like, hit 9.5 three-pointers seems just like – that seems like free money. Like, if you think the series is going 7, that's saying – if you think the series is going 6 games, do you think Danny Green is hitting more than, like, 1.5 threes a game? And that seems – man, that's
– yeah, that's low.
Like, he could have a game where he hits 4 or 5 and then basically just, like – you just need him to have one good game. Right, and then, like, he hits that, and I kind of feel like, ooh, I didn't see that, and that is actually pretty damn good. I like that.
A lot of these total numbers seem sort of low. Kawhi total free throws 42.5. Lowry total free throws 18.5. This would be a great way if you think this series is going 6 or 7, instead of having to pick a winner, just betting the, like, Iguodala total personal fouls over 11.5.
Yeah, that's a good one. Particularly, he's going to be covering Kawhi. So yeah, I think that's cake. That I mean, if you get 220 brothers games, you're getting that, right? That's yeah. Some of the, like, again, some of those series props are real. As I said, they're really interesting because of the. I think, like, the public thinks the series is going to go short. I mean, like, we're going to get to the game series, and I have two bets there that I like. That we'll talk about, but yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting to have those totals that are, like, a little low. I mean, I think the Iggy's low. I think Iggy Fouls is low. I think the Danny Green 3-pointers is a ridiculously low. If you think the series is going to go longer.
All right. So, what are some of the things that you have graded as bets?
I mean, I like, if you're going to go with the Warriors, I think Warriors series price at 4 to win the series in 6 games, which is plus 280, is probably your best bet on the board for the Warriors. Like, my model thinks it would be Raptors in 5, Raptors in 7, or Warriors in 6. And I think, you know, I think, like, what is Warriors? Raptors in 5 is +1,100, which is really good. And I think Raptors in 7 is +510. So if you take those three for series lengths, those are more likely outcomes. And you can actually, like, you're going to get points the other way in a lot of these, right? So, like, let's say the Raptors are up 3-1 and they're going back to Toronto. Like, so you think if the Raptors are up 3-1, I think the Warriors are giving points in that. I think the Warriors are probably favored in game 5. Right, and so you can actually go the other way if you're going to get. And I said that if you're going game 6, the series is Warriors are up 3-2 and they can win it at Oracle. They're going to be getting points, and, like, it'll be like Toronto will get, like, 5 or 6 points. Like, Toronto will be, like, +6 or +7. So you have a lot of interesting options if you're holding those series prices, right? And I think those are, like, the most interesting ones to me. And I think I'd rather be holding Warriors Raptors to win the series 4-3 if even if I think the Warriors might actually win Game 7, because again, there's some interesting possibilities holding that like that number against whatever the theory, the game price is going to be.
Yeah, I think out of all of these bets, the ones that seem best to me to like get the exacta would be Raptors win series 4-2. That would be out of all of those, that would be
remember the switch. It's 2-2-1-1-1 now, right? So right. It's two games in Toronto, two games in Oracle, then a game in Toronto, which is Game 5. Last game ever at Oracle is Game 6. That is last.
Well, that's why the number is so deep, though. Your modeling has the series price as closer regardless, right? And you know, a six game series just is overall a six game series is more likely than a seven game series. So I think that like the 10-1 price on 4-2 seems most bettable to me, even if the game by game logic would indicate that the seven game series is more likely.
But wouldn't you rather have the money? Wouldn't you? Here's the thing: what's the money line going to be in that game? So let's say the Raptors are up 3-2, right? Mm-hmm. What's the money line in the game for the Raptors to win the game? It's going to be comparable, right?
It'll be like two. It'll be like no. It'll be like 250. If they're up at that point, and Durant's still not back, and Cousins is still not back, and you know, like Curry had a 55-point game to win one of the games, and it was like totally a miracle. I think the Raptors they could be like 220 or 250-1, something like that.
What if it's a dogfight at that point? What if every game's a dogfight?
I mean, if it's a dog fight, yeah, it probably is more like 3-1.
Yeah, I mean, this is what I said. Like, here's the thing. I love your logic, right? I think your logic is solid. I think that's actually a solid play. I kind of like the other side because although holding the action on both ends on that might actually be interesting, right? And then here's the thing. I think holding, if you want to be cute, you can hold Warriors to win the series 4-2 and Raptors to win the series 4-2 and then take the game action like to hedge against that. Right? And I think you'll wind up, yeah, I think the prices are actually pretty decent both ways. So you're getting you're getting plus 280 on the Warriors to win the series. But I mean, I think if you wanted to do something, you could build around that and take the series prices. I mean, I'm gonna like the points on the Raptors pretty much every game, but I think you've talked me into like Raptors winning the series in six being interesting, because there's nothing that would be more Kawhi than going out and eliminating the Warriors
exactly
in the last home game. I think that would like if we ever get him to smile, that would be a game that he'd smile, right? And I could totally see that. Yeah. No, that's really interesting, actually.
I think that is going to be the only bet I make before the first game in terms of outcomes of the finals, because I am still very undecided. I defer a lot to Stephen Curry. I defer a lot to Steve Kerr, who, you know, we can make fun of Steve Kerr's rotations, and, you know, he played Anderson Varejao in the Game 7, and he's done all these things. But this is the most successful and the best basketball team that we have seen in, you know, the shooting and spacing era, and I defer a lot to that. So I think Toronto to win in six games is going to be the only series bet that I make before it starts, just because I like the price, and it's a good way to hedge again. Basically, it's a good way for me to be kind of happy regardless of what happens in Game 6, because at that point, I will either have bet a shorter Warriors price or I will be rooting for the Raptors in Game 6.
What do you think of Toronto Raptors Series 1 at plus 1.5? Series Games 1 at plus 1.5, which is going off at plus 112.
Yeah, that seems pretty good.
Yeah, that's interesting. Or even money, like plus one going off of plus 167 is interesting. Again, if you think it's going to be a longer series, I don't know if betting on Danny Green to hit the threes or that's better. But that both of those are interesting kind of, I think the series is going to go longer than the public bets. I know that like somebody that I follow who's been like kind of riding the Raptors wagon was riding that one and a half, was betting Toronto Raptors series games 1 plus 1.5.
Yeah. I think what I will be erring on the side of, cause when we're done here, I'm going to go through and bet all these props too, the ones that I like. And I think I'm just going to be erring on the side of betting for longer series. So like Kawhi Leonard, total block steals over 20.5. If you think that this is a 5-game series, you take the under. If you think this is a 6-game series, well, you probably take the over.
I come back to the 2015 series, and I would argue that the 2015 Warriors were a better team than this Warriors team, and that the 2015 Cavs were a significantly worse team than this Raptors team, right? And that series went 6 games, right? And the Cavs did not have home court advantage in that series. And I mean, literally, like if you look at that, like so it was LeBron was the top minute getter for that team. Kyrie got hurt, so it was LeBron, then Tristan, then Iman Shumpert, then J.R. Smith. And I don't know what to tell you, but like, you know, if we're kind of treating Kawhi and LeBron as kind of an even up, you look at the roster for the Raptors, it's significantly better than like that Cavs team, and they have home court. So I think they're like, there's almost no chance. Like, I don't think there's any chance that the series goes less than 6 unless the Warriors completely get rolled. And I don't think the Warriors are going to completely get rolled. I think this thing goes 6 most likely, at least, right? And I'm kind of expecting it to go 7. Like, the only way I see it going 5 is as the Warriors lose in 5, right? Because they get rolled, yeah. And like, and they're just like, you know, they just can't overcome. But again, I think the more likely outcomes are 6 and 7. So if you think the most likely outcomes are 6 and 7, then a lot of the totals bet that you were mentioning, those are really, really interesting. I think the Iggy bet is interesting, and I think the Danny Green bet is interesting, because those are kind of geared toward a shorter series, and I don't think that's going to be the case here.
Yeah.
I mean, like, if you have to bet your life, how many games does the series go?
6 games. 6 games seems most likely to me either direction.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And the way I'm thinking this breaks down is, I kind of think the Raptors are going to be up 3-2. Right. And I think it's going to be down on the Warriors to win in Oracle and force it back to Toronto. Right. And here's the thing. I could totally see the Warriors winning game 6 and 7. I could totally see it, but I could also see Kawhi just going off and going like, no, and doing what, like we've watched it. We've seen it. Kawhi just deciding in the third quarter that like, no, I'm winning this game. Right. And no matter what you do, I'm winning this game. And so again, I'm really excited for it. I think it's going to be good, great basketball. I think the value bets are all on the Toronto side and also on the series goes longer side. I think we both agree to that.
Yeah. I think that seems like the most likely outcome.
Yeah. Anything else you like?
No, I think it seems like the overs for Steph and for Kawhi, some of the Clay overs, Clay for finals MVP, Warriors or Raptors in 6. And then I do not have a bet on the straight up series price. I'm going to wait to see what the Warriors price is after game one, kind of hoping they lose game one.
I think if you're looking for a pre-finals, like a pre-start of the finals price on the Warriors, the best time to do it is when you get the injury news on KD. And I think, because I think the injury news on KD is going to be, which is on Wednesday, is KD's not going to travel to Toronto. Like,
yeah.
It's either KD's not, like, I think the two likely outcomes are KD's not traveling to Toronto or KD's not playing in the finals. And I think the Warriors will not go with number 2. They'll go with number 1 because they want to keep the possibility of KD playing so that the Raptors have to prep for it, right?
Yeah.
I don't think he's playing, but I think they're basically just reporting it so that the Raptors are basically kind of have it in their mind. But again, do you disagree that I don't think KD's playing? Right.
No, Durant is like, he's got to be like, I mean, I try not to think in terms of just black and white. He's got to be like plus 500 to play a minute in this series.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, are there any KD totals listed?
No, there are not. They're not on Pinnacle, not on any of the books.
That should tell you something. The fact that there's no totals on him should tell you something.
Yeah, there are Boogie totals, but no Durant totals.
Yeah, if there were any Durant totals, I would tell people bet the under.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
So Vegas is basically not listing any KD totals, which kind of tells you that, like, it's off the board. They think he's gone, right? So, you know, take that as you will and then, like, adjust your pricing. And I don't think the public is considering that. But, I mean, I think from a DFS port point, we have to consider it. So, like, right now I'm going, like, KD's not playing. If KD's not playing, I have to treat this at worst as a pick 'em series.
There are some interesting Kevin Durant futures. He is -175 to play game one of the 2019-2020 NBA season with the Knicks.
I think if we're going to get into that, I think the way to kind of think about it is it's the Knicks. They'll find a way to blow it.
Yeah, I would not bet that, but I think it's interesting that the Warriors are not the favorite in a liquid market.
Well, I think here's the thing. I think he wants, like, every piece of scuttlebutt I've heard is he's gone.
Yeah.
The question is, are the Nets in play? Are the Clippers in play? Because Jerry West has basically done some really interesting stuff there. And I think I would bet the field, and I would imagine, and I haven't looked, but I would imagine that the field's probably a favorite to land Durant right now. If you can get odds on the field.
On the book I'm looking at, you cannot get the field, but the Nets are +700.
Yeah. I would think the Nets, the Clippers, maybe the Celtics, but the Knicks have to be the favorite on that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, I think that, like, given all that we know, and given that Vegas is not giving you the option to take the unders on any KD totals, assume he's not playing, and assume this series is going longer than the public thinks, because the public is ill-informed here, right? And that's where the value is. Like, if you're betting, that's where the value is in this series.
Yep. All right, well, I think that will do it for our 2019 NBA Finals preview. Ultimate prediction, the thing you think that is most likely to happen.
I think Kawhi is playing at a different level, and I think he's going to win Toronto the championship. And I think that's because I think it's really hard for a team to do well in that fifth straight finals. And the Warriors are, like, really banged up. And, like, Toronto's, like, the team is just perfectly built to do it. And Kawhi's just been an assassin. And I think that, like, I think if there's anything that's going to get him to be happy, is, like, I think nothing would make him happier than beating the Warriors in Oracle to win the title. I think that would be, and I'm sorry, Spurs fans, that it has to happen to you, but I'm actually kind of glad that's happening for Raptors fans. I think, like, that's everything I've seen just kind of leads me to say I don't want to put money against Kawhi. I would rather have my money with Kawhi than against Kawhi at this spot.
So my final pick is going to be Raptors in six. But I will be trying to get – I'm going to bet Raptors in six. I'm going to bet that right now. But I am also going to hopefully be able to get a better Warriors price after game one. That's my – Raptors in six, most likely. But I think Warriors in seven is probably the second most likely outcome after that.
I think Raptors in six, and then look at the clay prop for MVP. I think that's going to be interesting too.
Yeah,
I think that's a good that and Curry are good interesting hedges to that, and it's things that you can actually go out and get. Davis, it's been fun, and hopefully, like, you know, everybody wins money.
Yeah. Everyone, thanks Arturo for doing the show. Make sure to give him a follow on Twitter. He is at American Numbers, and make sure to check out all the excellent work that he's putting in on Daily Roto and Roto Experts.